Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The incoming class of House Democrats looks like none other in the history of the U.S. Congress. The largest number of women ever elected to the House, 35. The first Muslim and Native American members, 22 people of color. The biggest number of veterans and members from the LGBTQ community. And this freshman class wants change. 46 of some 60 freshman Democrats sent a letter to their party leaders with a list of demands and recommendations. Representative-elect Alyssa Slotkin of the 8th District helped to write this letter and drum up support for it, and she's with us now. Representative-elect Alyssa Slotkin, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So before we dig into what's actually in this letter, tell us why you felt it was so important to speak out this way to House Democratic leaders.
Yeah, so I think no matter where we were elected, no matter where we ran, people came to Congress and Congress school, our orientation, with a really strong sense that they were elected on a mandate for change. Change for the country, but also change for the culture of Congress. And a bunch of us huddled together very early on in week one of Congress school and said, you know, the clearest way we can, you know, make our voices heard is by speaking collectively and getting folks together to talk about, first and foremost, some of the changes we think we should see within our own caucus, within the Democratic Party. And so that's what we did, and that was the intent.
And I know we'll start with things on the legislative agenda, and you're saying we have to heed the call from our constituents, and you're asking for priority action on immigration, gun safety, the environment, the cost of health care and prescription drugs, the infrastructure, criminal justice reform. Tell us how did that list of issues get drawn up?
Yeah. So we, a bunch of the freshmen got together and we started to just exchange lessons learned. You know, how did you win and what was going on in your district? And what was very, very clear, particularly for folks who flip districts, was that staying local, focusing on local issues, things that affect people's pocketbooks or their kids, were really, really important, more sometimes than the national, you know, Twitter conversation. And we just wanted to make the statement that legislation is our responsibility, and that while we will always serve as a check and balance on the administration, that is our job, that is our mandate, we also have a mandate to pass legislation, and that can't be lost in the sort of bubble of Washington. So that was what that was about.
Now, the letter to the party leadership, I'm looking at it now, was dated December 3rd. 4 days later, last Friday, came those new filings from Special Counsel Robert Mueller and the federal prosecutors from the Southern District of New York. And we all learned more about Russian interference into the 2016 election, possible ties to the Trump campaign. The SDNY linked the president to felonies his former lawyer Michael Cohen committed in connection with the 2016 campaign, with those illegal payoffs to the two women to keep quiet about alleged affairs with Mr. Trump. It was a lot, and we expect more. Can the House do both? Tackle all of those issues and investigate and oversee?
We have to. I mean, the mandate, you have to be able to walk and chew gum. You can't say that we only do legislation and ignore what looks like potential violations of the rule of law. And you can't just do investigations and not push forward with a positive agenda that helps people. You got to do both. And I got to tell you, just by spending time with this freshman class, everyone comes with a extremely strong background, you know, whether they were a federal prosecutor or a Navy pilot, and everyone feels like, you know what, if there's ever a class that can do both, walk and chew gum, it's this one.
Well, now that we're going to see Democrats like you in control of the House, what do you want to see happen with these investigations into the president, into his family, his associates?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see them play out. We are a nation of rules and laws. And we must always be a nation of rules and laws. That is fundamental. And so we need to move forward on everything and anything to make sure that we remain a country of rules and laws. So, you know, I don't know if that's always in the House. Sometimes there's just Department of Justice issues. There's legal issues that come way before a House investigation. But if there's an appropriate place for us to get engaged, we will. But for me, it doesn't obviate my responsibility to talk about health care and prescription drugs, to talk about infrastructure. Those things have to be going on at the same time.
I'm speaking with Representative-elect Alyssa Slotkin of the 8th District, who was very involved in writing and drafting a letter and spearheading support of the letter sent by many of the incoming class of House Democrats to their party leaders. And that letter calls for changes in internal rules, some housekeeping things. And what the one that really jumped out at me is bills must be available for review 72 hours before they can proceed to a vote. That would not have come from all of the what was rammed through with the tax bill last spring, would it?
It's it's not just that bill. It's a culture up there where people, you know, members of Congress are not expected to read the actual bill. Maybe they'll have a young staffer read through it. Maybe you'll get it a few hours before you're supposed to vote on it. And this new class just said, that's crazy, right? We've all worked as professionals before this. No one votes on something without reading it. So 72 hours, which seems like a pittance, is actually a big deal. And listen, this new class is already doing things, particularly around the schedule, that are changing the culture of Congress. We have the youngest class, the most women, the most people with school-aged children, and the most people with a dual-income families, two full-time working adults in the household. That's a very different Congress than 50 years ago. We've got to get home to our districts. We have responsibilities in our districts and at our own homes. And so we're really pushing to, you know, for the leadership to understand that we're a different class and you got to keep to a schedule.
And so how has the leadership responded to this letter, particularly Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah, so we're hoping for an official response. Actually, Leader Pelosi was the one who suggested that the freshmen, it would be a good idea for the freshmen to do a class. So, I mean, to do a letter, pardon. And so we're hoping for a formal response. Certainly, just in the first couple of weeks that we've been in orientation, you can see how the Democratic Party is changing. The freshman class is a quarter of all Democrats in the House of Representatives. So anyone who's worked in any organization knows you bring in a quarter of new people, that starts to change things. So the schedule, we've already been told that we're going to have new new expectations on scheduling. Even just this week with President Bush's funeral, the schedule got changed. We were all on our way back home to our districts on Friday after the final week of orientation, and all of a sudden we get a message. Literally, I was at the airport. We've scheduled a meeting for Washington on Tuesday. And all the freshmen got on a group text and a group email and started talking, are you going to turn around? Are you turning around? Don't you have stuff to do in your district? And I'm happy to say that on Tuesday, we will have the first ever phone-in caucus meeting for the Democratic Party so that you can call in from your district. It sounds small, but it's actually a big change for the culture of that place.
And speaking of leadership, speaking of Leader Pelosi, can you see any way to support her when that floor vote happens January 3rd to choose the speaker?
Yeah, you know, I have said for a long time now that I never want to be disrespectful to anyone who served, especially a woman who's broken glass ceilings. But I think we need to hear what people are telling us, certainly in my district. They want new leadership on both sides of the aisle. So I will not be supporting Leader Pelosi. I have told her that. We've had very positive conversations, and I'm going to work with whoever is elected speaker. And certainly it looks it's skewing that way right now towards her since there's no one running against her. But I think, you know, it's very important to me to stick with my integrity and stick with my word on my very first vote on the floor. So that's what I'm going to do.
How do you respond to those who have said, and we've heard it a lot, this is not the time for rookies, not with what so many people see as an existential threat that's posed to our country through Russian interference, through corruption?
Well, again, there's no one running against Leader Pelosi, so I'm not sure who the rookie is in that scenario. But listen, the Democrats are a big tent. We pride ourselves on being a big tent. We have to be able to have deliberation and debate. That's a healthy thing. So I don't believe that having a fulsome debate and a conversation about the future of the party is something that somehow hurts the party.
Do you think that being so clear with Leader Pelosi that you won't be supporting her, could that affect committee assignments or your ability to get things done for the people of your district?
Yeah, people have said that to me, you know, she's not going to do you favors and you're not going to get some, you know, extra bonuses that you would get if you voted for her. And I just think that is exactly what people can't stand about Congress and about politics, is this idea of trading your integrity for favors. And I'm just not going to do that. That is not, to me, the way I'm going to start off. And to be honest with you, I have a hope and an expectation that Leader Pelosi is a very strategic thinker. She understands the importance of Michigan. She understands that we flipped a number of seats here. And I expect that she will put that firmly at the front of her mind when she's making decisions on things like committees.
Representative-elect Slotkin, what concerns you most about these next few years of Democratic control of the House of Representatives?
You know, I think that I am concerned that as we enter an election year for presidential elections, that our ability to actually get something done might be very limited. And I'm going to fight against that, and so is the entire freshman class. But, you know, we are coming at this from a place where the world around us in Washington is hyper-political and hyper-vitriolic. And we all ran against that. And it's going to be up to us to band together, to stick together, to make sure that we can push through that and actually get something done. That, to me, is foremost in my mind of, you know, what I kind of wake up in the middle of the night thinking about. Can we get things done when the environment in D.C. is so, so politicized? And that's our mandate, and that's our responsibility.
Alyssa Slotkin, Democratic representative-elect for the 8th District of Michigan. Thank you for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.